Now, we all have friends that maybe we haven't seen for a while, but can you imagine being reunited with a very good friend after 52 years? Well, it happened in Charlestown last Monday at 4 o'clock at the library when my next guest was reunited with an old friend who'd helped him out in darker times, I suppose it might be fair to say. And 52 years later, they shook hands again for the first time. The man I'm talking about is Tony Kelly, who's from Swinford. Tony, good morning.
Good morning, Tommy. Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. This is a lovely Christmas story of sorts. You're from Swinford originally, but I think you live in Dublin now.
That's right. I was reared in Carrickendiswin for 10 years, and I left there in 1962, and I went to England when I was 16 years of age, and I stayed there until 1980-odd, 81 or 2, I think it was about. And then I came back, and I'm now a resident in Dublin.
Yeah. Now, when you went off from Carrow, Canada, to England at the age of 16, had you a job sorted?
I had a job, yeah. I had a job with a lovely man from Ballyhonus, Tom Murphy. Beautiful man, a beautiful man, J.T. Murphy Contractors. And, well, it was kind of a plug, you know, just to fill in, like.
Yeah, so were you working a shovel?
Oh, working a shovel, oh, yeah, all my life.
Yeah.
Good hard work, hard, honest work.
Yeah. And you were in digs?
I was in digs, yeah. I was in digs for a while there. That was in Bury in Manchester, Bury outside Manchester. And then after a few months, I moved into Manchester.
Right.
And that's where I met the gentleman concerned.
And the gentleman concerned is a man called Phelim Brady.
That's correct.
Tell me about Phelim. Where's he from?
Phelim is, I believe, he lives in Cashel in Charlestown now. Cashel, if that's the right address.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
And how did you come across him in England?
We were in lodgings together. We were in lodging in digs together, as we call the lodgings over there, and that's how we kind of linked up with one another.
Yeah, these digs were at number 39 Britain Street in Leicester.
In Leicester Street, that's correct, yeah. In Leicester Street, that's right, yeah.
Phelim kind of saved...
We also lived, but prior to that, we lived in 100 Shakespeare Street in Manchester, in Charlton and Medlock, well-known, the heart of the Irish.
Yeah,
that's
so,
where we actually met first.
Would you have classed him as your best friend in England?
Oh, yeah, there was always something about him, like, you know, that he was a generous kind of a man, very, very thoughtful kind of a man, you know. No, much older than me, if you know what I mean. I don't mean that in a bad way.
Yes.
But he was more of a father figure, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, you were getting on grand, Phelim, and were you working in the same company?
No, we never worked in the same company, believe it or not, no. But we're always together, like, you know.
Yes.
We go to night together and go to dances and all that.
And all that. You kind of hit hard times. You were actually homeless one Christmas, were you?
That's right, yeah. I lived with a beautiful woman, sadly no longer with us, called Mrs. Logan. Her son is Martin, used to work in Irish TV.
Yes, I know Martin,
and,
yeah.
And a lovely man, lovely family. And I lived with them for a while, and about November of 65, I decided I'd go, as you do, you go elsewhere, and you go for digs, and you go for work and all that. But I moved out, but sadly it didn't work out. I was supposed to go working with people, and that didn't work out. So I found myself on Christmas Eve homeless in 1965. And I slept in the Choria railway station in Manchester that night. That's how my first one. On the next day, I went back and I decided I'd knock on the door of Mrs. Logan and Hyde Grove in Charlestown. And lo and behold, she opened the door, lighted her door, and brought me in and gave me a Christmas dinner and gave me a tea. And told me to come back the next day. And that evening, I got put up in a Salvation Army hostel down in the same area, Charlestown and Medlock.
So this was Christmas Day, 1965.
1965, never forget it. Never forget it.
Homeless, destitute, and you even said in an email, even possibly suicidal?
Yes, right, yeah. Because you know, when you're down and out and you have nothing and there's no hope, no light at the end of the tunnel, and don't forget, I was only 17 years of age, you know, in danger and all sorts, you know, so things weren't going well. But anyway, as it happened, and as luck would happen, there was somebody obviously praying for me. I got the breakfast in the morning, Salvation Hostel. Now we're now into Boxing Day, as we call it over there. It says Stephen's Day here. I walked up again. I was going to go up to Mrs. Logan because she had told me to come back, you see. But I didn't. I went up to St. Joseph's Church in Plymouth Grove, all in the same area where the big dance hall is, where the Astoria dance hall is. And I went in there and I spent, I'd say, half an hour. It was warm, and I got myself nice and warm. And I decided to walk back down again, come into town to the railway station. I was walking down Upper Brook Street, and where I should have gone straight on to go to the Victoria Station, I decided to turn left for some unknown reason, and that took me into an area called All Saints, which is well known for all with all the Irish. And lo and behold, when I turned left down to All Saints and onto the Oxford Road, who was walking towards me? Only Phelan Brady, a godsend.
And you hadn't seen him for like months, or would it? Yeah, about.
Oh, I hadn't seen him for months. No, I hadn't seen him for months at that time. He had walked. He had gone away to work in Stoke and Trent. You see.
Yeah, and I know people are saying, well, how come you didn't stay in touch? But there were no mobile phones those times.
Oh, there was not.
People were moving from one address to another.
And one address, and you met a man in a pub, Tommy. That's where you met. That's, you know, if you wanted a job in England, you went into a pub and you got it. That's where you got it. You know, and you met lads, or some lads and things would say, where are you working? Oh, come on for me in the morning, I'll bring you with me. Or, you know, this man is catching mark. Come on, he'll give you a job. You know, that's the way it was.
So you were walking, yeah. As I say, you wouldn't take this route normally, but you did, and there was Phelan, and he saw you in a fairly bad state.
That's right, yeah. And what? he was about to go back. That was the ironic thing. But he was going back up to a house he used to live in to pick up a few bits of stuff, a few bits of gear they left behind him. And then he was going to go back. He should actually have gone back the other way and gone to the railway station and got his train back, because he was working the next morning. And I told him my situation, and he put his hand in his front pocket. I'll never forget it. I brought back the memory to him, and he handed me a 10 shilling note. And he told me, go into the cafe, the Frascati Cafe, I'll never forget it, and have it. That's where we squinted. That was a regular cafe there. It was like, we say, the Elephant and Shepherd's Bush and all that. Everyone knew it, you know. And then he said, meet me back here at 4:30, he said, and I'll take you back with me. And he was true to his word. I met him back at 4:30, give and take it, 10 or 15 minutes. And I was sitting there, I was standing there on Oxford Road waiting. I said, oh, good years now. I'm knackered altogether now. He doesn't come, you know. And next thing, here he arrived and took me back with him to Stoke and Trent. And I was working with him the next morning. And I haven't seen the man since that day until last Monday.
How come? Did he move to another job?
He moved to another job after that. Then he left all of a sudden. We moved from that job into outside Liverpool place called Widnes, the rugby club, and we worked there. And then we worked into Stockport. And then he left then to go to a better job altogether. I don't know.
Exactly where.
I was kind of settled in Leicester then, because I was getting involved in wrestling and all that, and I kind of settled there, and he went off, and I remember we went down to St. Peter's Club for a couple of drinks the night before, and that was it, and he went off in the morning, and I didn't see him until last Monday. Again.
And that was 52 years ago.
Exactly 52, Tommy, exactly 52, to, I think it was in around the August time, it was summertime anyway.
And how did this reuniting of sorts come about?
Well, I think he knew a girl, a lovely girl called Noreen Gannon, in the library in Charlestown. And I think Phelan used to go into her, and I think he relayed the story to her.
About a fella called Tony Kelly from Swinford. And I wonder where he is now.
He had a photograph of me, myself and Joint Haystacks from Clare Morris, or in between Clare Morris and Charlestown, or Clare Morris and Kelchimar. A place called Bryce or somewhere like that, and he had a photograph, and he used to have it up. He used to bring it into the pub and show it to them, and he said, "I know that lad." He said, "I want to meet him." He said, "I know him. That's my mate." He said.
And did you become a professional wrestler?
Oh, I did. Yeah.
Did you make money?
There's a tax man listening.
You didn't make. You made a bit.
Come here. We made enough. We made enough. Yeah. You see, there you go. Charlestown has something for me now. You see, when Phelan saved my life that day, put me on the right track, and then afterwards, then I met the Dunleavys of Charlestown, Mike and Seamus, the famous wrestlers there in Navi Beg, and I got working with Mick Dunleavy when I moved into Vernon, because he was a big contractor for gas, or the gas board, and then he was wrestling, and then eventually, as a result of being associated with them, I appeared on television many times.
And did you become a professional wrestler, Tony?
Oh yeah.
So you gave up the shovel for the fist.
Gave up the shoulder for the fist. I don't know whether it was a good thing or not.
and you were obviously quite successful, were you?
Oh, yeah. I appeared on television many, many times,
And does the body know all about it now?
Oh, well, I packed it up at the right time.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd go to reunions. I organise reunions now over in the UK, and I see some people come, and they always say, we used to always say, "Look out for the Zimmer frames."
Yeah.
Look at the cauliflower ears and my friends. No. You get out of that business when you're able to get out.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm sorry I haven't more time to tease this out, but yeah, it's an amazing reunion after 52 years to meet Phelan.
That's right, yeah.
Brady again. And is he looking well? He is.
Oh, looking well. I didn't recognise him immediately, but as soon as he moved around a bit, I knew his. You know the way people move around his gait. He was a fine, and he was a lovely man and a lovely worker, a kind of a man that would nurture you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Tell you how to work.
Yeah.
As I said, he was way older than me. Like, you know, I don't mean that bad, but he was way older than me, and he used to always tell me, no, young lad, don't do this. Yeah. No, come here, do it this way. And he used to always say to me, get your tape. Measure it, mark it, and cut it, he used to say. That was his measure it, mark it. No two cuttings, he used to say. One cut will do.
All right, well, it was a lovely reunion, and I think there are some pictures of it and stuff as well, isn't there?
There is. There should be some in the Western Today and in the Connacht Telegraph.
Of next week, probably, yeah.
And I'd like to thank Noreen as well, because she done some hard work tracking me down, because she, obviously, I think she went onto Facebook, and there's 100 Tony Kellys, 1,000 Tony Kellys.
Yes.
And tracked me down. And then we, Willie Garvey and his looked after us that night, and then I stayed the night in the, I think it's the Riverside.
The Riverside, yeah, brilliant.
Riverside, lovely.
So you're back home in Dublin again.
And a happy Christmas to everybody.
Tony, thanks a lot. And especially, obviously, you want to say thanks to Phelan again, Phelan Brady.
I do, of course, Phelan. Yeah, I'll talk to you. Yeah, I'll talk to you again, Phelan, very shortly.
All right, very good. By the way, just to say that Grace and Declan O'Boyle called in. When they moved to England in 1989, the first person they met was Martin Logan. His mother was a lovely lady. She used to take people in during hard times. Martin and his wife Annette actually staying with them in Arda this Christmas. So did you know that?
No, you broke up a bit in the middle of that.
Okay, I was just saying that we got a call to say that when a couple moved to England in 89, the first person they met was Martin Logan.
Yes.
And that Martin's mum, did you know Martin's mum?
Of course I knew her, Cecilia.
Yeah, she was,
I met her when she was 100.
Right, well, anyway, she's a lovely lady. She used to take people in during hard times.
She did, of course, yeah. Oh, yeah. Lovely woman.
And Martin and his wife, Annette, are staying in Arda.
In Crossmolina.
Yeah, Crossmolina. Yeah. Oh, so you know all this.
Oh, of course I know. I know Annette well.
Okay, come here. They're screaming at me here. I'm way overdue. Listen.
Right, okay, Tommy.
Tony.
Listen, and a very happy Christmas to everybody in Midwest Radio.
Thank you. Mind yourself.
And listeners.